Okay, so we're gonna talk about the Mekoshesh. Okay?
Alright.
So we're gonna read these psukim. Right. On the surface it seems that the Mekoshesh, that's someone who gathers sticks. There's a story about someone who's gathering sticks and he's put to death. Seems like a simple story,
on Shabbos.
It seems like a simple story, but we're gonna see it's not so simple. In Parsha Shlach, Perek Tesva, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. The b'nei Yisrael were in the desert. Vayimtzu ish mekoshesh etzim b'yom haShabbat. Okay, so there's someone who's gathering sticks on Shabbos. Okay, collecting sticks. Vayikrivo so hamotzim oso mekoshesh etzim b'moshev al Aron v'al kol ha'edah. So the people find him. They bring him to Moshe and to Aaron, to all the people. Vayinichos lo b'mishpor. They put him in jail. Kilo parash b'yaselo. Because it's not clear what should happen to him. Okay. Moshe, then Hashem says to Moshe, "Most yimas oish, this person surely die. Ragom also bavadim, kol hoida mechutz lachad. They should all stone him with stones outside the camp."
Aren't they supposed to get warned first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they should get warned. So maybe they try to read that into this. By the way, they read this into vayimtzuish mekoshetz veyakuso hamotzimosa. So the mafarshim read it into this. They find him, and then it says hamotzim again. So they read into it that they warn him, but okay.
And is it an obligation to report if you see that happening?
So they say. So this is very interesting that they find him. Like, are they looking for him? That's also, it said by Yeru, it's by Yamtzi. It's an interesting language. So God said the person's put to death, stone him with stones, after the camp. So and the people bring him outside the camp, and they stone him with stones. Okay, Shkara.
The
Chalal Shabbos,
the skila.
So it is skila, but I would even ask a different question. Like, what? So I have a few questions here. So first of all, by the way, this mekoshesh, the word mekoshesh, I found one other time in the in here in Chumash. It says by the bricks, by Yafet Ta'am B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim mekoshesh katz. So they're gathering straw. So mekoshesh means to collect, to gather. Okay. So a couple of things that I'm. What was he doing that's so wrong? Like, what are you like? He was collecting wood on Shabbos. What was he? First, I'm curious what he's collecting wood for. But okay. But where is there wood in the desert? Okay. The fire, though. He's collecting. So what's he doing wrong here? What's he doing
wrong?
Caring, maybe. Okay. Right. It's not so clear exactly what he's doing wrong. Why did he do this? Like, I'm just curious. Like, did he have some kind of sinister motive? Did he have? And it's not exactly clear. This person's going out collecting some wood, like, and then let's say they warned him, "Don't collect wood." And, oh, I'm doing it anyway. Like, what's? I got to get my wood, because by the rule, when it comes to warning someone about Shabbos, you have to tell them, by the way, if you continue to commit this sin, you could be put to death. And some even say you actually have to specify the type of punishment. So they're like warning him, like, "Oh no, I have to collect my wood. I have to collect my sticks." It's a little strange. Right? It's a little strange.
Did he make something out of it? Maybe it was for his business, or
something with sticks. I don't know.
Okay. He's going to die for.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying. It's a little strange.
Nobody knew what the punishment was.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like I thought you're saying that they did in fact warn him.
Yeah. So if they did warn, so like, but they don't know what the punishment is. That's also a little strange, because we know that you can't do work on Shabbos. We know that in Parshas Vayakhel, I think it says, "Mechalel mos yumas," you're put to death. So, you know, they don't know what to happen. Kilo prash ma'aseh. We don't know what to do with them. Like, what do you mean? Put the person to death. You know, who was this person? This anonymous person. Like, what's he doing? And also the introduction to this story is interesting. Guess where they were, in case you didn't know. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. They were in the desert. Oh, really? Okay, that's like. The last 3.5 books of the Torah.
It must be defined as wilderness, right? Wilderness.
Okay, wilderness.
And you have to understand that thousands of years ago, the entire Middle East was lush forest until it was stripped and burned.
Okay.
And you had desertification. So I'm not so sure it was really all sand.
Okay, so whatever. So fine. Midrash. Okay, so we'll do this. Fine. So my point is, the last 3.5 svarim of the Torah are taking place in the wilderness. Why does it have to tell us that? Why this introduction? Okay.
It's like a lawless place.
The law. Ah, so this is the Bamidbar. Anything goes.
Or that it, if you say it's carrying to say that they were like things have been private property.
Oh, you say okay. You're saying it's telling you the halacha. If it's carrying, it has to be the Midbar. Okay, interesting. The so I'm gonna just try to address some of these questions. I'll give you my own theory on this because it's a difficult story. Like, what's the intention of this person? What's he doing? So there's a 3-way debate in the Gemara as to what he's doing. So the Gemara it says in Shabbos Daf Tzadivam and Beis says Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel Makoshish Mavir Abra Amos Bishus Aram Hava. So he said he was caring, so it's good. That's what you said, David. The Masnisa Tana Tole Shava, because to collect the wood, if it's, where are you getting wood from?
Chopping
down. You're probably chopping, or so maybe there are branches. He's collecting sticks. So again, I don't know where there are sticks here, but maybe there was some shrubbery, there was some kind of branches. So that's what he's doing. Rav Yaakov Amar Ma'amar Hava, because Mekoshesh is your gathering, you're putting in a pile. So you collect, Ma'amar is one of the 39 Malachas of Shabbos. You can not just, you have to define what a pile is, but he was probably putting it into a large pile. And so it's not clear what he did wrong. Okay, there's three different opinions. It's also not clear who this person is. So there's one opinion. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Mekoshesh Zet Slavcha. Okay? This is like theory, by the way, where like, if you don't know, what are you saying, Noah?
The girl said that he thought of his own, like,
died of his sin, right. Sin, yeah. So, right. So we try to, like, if we don't know who someone is, there's this whole, like, theory of, like, we just call it the conservation of character. Like, we try to find, if we have a person, we don't know who it is, then we try to find him in a different place. But there's more than that. Says Vayu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar. The Gemara says Vayu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar Vimsu Ish. So the Bnei Yisrael were in the desert and they found the man Ulahalan Omer. And later on it says Avinu Meis Bamidbar. Our father died in the desert. Malahalan Slochad Afkan Slochad Dira Bekiva. Bekiva says that there it says in the story where the daughters of Slochad complain that they don't, that their father died and they don't have any brothers, so they want to inherit him. So there it says that they said our father died in the desert. So that's Slavchad. And here it was in the desert.
If it was Slavchad, wouldn't it say that? Like,
why was put to death? But then again, everyone of that generation ought to be die out anyways.
Right. So the question is, why did it say Avinu Beis Bamidbar? Okay. Yeah, you're saying why don't we say who it is?
Yeah,
okay.
If it was a certain person,
why did they actually include the word Bamidbar?
Right. So that, by the way, Torah to me, the Torah to me makes the point. Neil says that what's this clear show? My shaychus smichus and tzelzel. What's connection between Slavkot and the story? V'itachein lomar demedayek b'shnei hanyanim yitur hamil Bamidbar. The word Bamidbar is extra. So why didn't say it was in the desert? Because it wants to tell you, we're going to see. Right, it was in the desert, someone died, and then later on in the Torah, it's someone's going to say that a father died by his sin, right? Kiba chetomet, he died with the sin in the desert. Okay, so we know it's Slavka. Then we have to ask Josh's question, well, why don't we mention it's Slavka? Why is this person anonymous? I have a theory about that. But there's one opinion that it's Slavka, okay? Question is that really true? The Sifrei Zuta says it's very hard to say it's Slavchad because says that Rabbi Shimon says that that when the story of Slavchad happened at the end of the 40 years in the desert, so and if he died in the beginning, right? If he died in the beginning, so he has a comment of Chiyavshar Shiyu, it's like the fourth line in the Sifrei Zuta. Chiyavshar Shiyu, Benos Slavcha, Benos Malachim, No Sukshir, Sakatavahem, Haisi Yoshef, Abim Shana, Achlo Nises. How can it be there's such a Shidduch crisis? Slavcha died in year 1, and here they are, all these 5 girls. They're alive now, right? They're alive already year one. They couldn't find that they're kosher, they're beautiful, daughters of kings. How can they not, none of them find a shidduch for 40 years? So they think that Rav Shimon thinks, okay, it's not, is it persuasive, it's not persuasive, he thinks that Slavchad died year 40, you know, and then, or, you know, much.
There's no chronology.
Right. Well, what do you mean? No. You know that Slavchad, no, the story of Slavchad happens after, that's Leon, it's a Parshas Pinchas, so that happens afterwards. So there's a question, is it Slavchad, is it not Slavchad? Okay, it's a question about that. There's also questions to the timing of this event. So there are like different theories about what you said, there's no chronological order in the Torah, Neil. So like, that's a point of contention. Right? You have the Ramban, who will try his hardest to say that the events of the Torah occurred in their chronological order, unless I'm forced to say otherwise. Ramban says, Uleparsha hazo samach achra inyan ha-makoshesh. In this parsha, this section, right, that it's the story of Makoshesh happens right after the Chayit Ha-Meraglim. Ki haya bezmanezeh achar masim raglim v'derech ha-pshat. The pshat is, simple understanding is, this happened after the story of the Meraglim. V'zeh tavyu b'nei so b'amidbar. This is the reason why it says b'nei so were the desert. Ki behisacher shama'am. That when the people were delayed, so this story happened after the decree that they're not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. We'll get back to that point also. You should know, it's not the only opinion. Rashi is based on a Medrash, says, that the Pasuk is speaking about something negative about Bnei Yisrael. They only observed the first Shabbos of Ishni and Baza Vechila. They violated the second Shabbos. In other words, the Bamidbar, according to Rashi, is Bamidbar Sinai. According to Ramban, Bamidbar is what? Bamidbar Paran. Which desert are we talking, or which wilderness are we talking about? The wilderness of Sinai or the wilderness of Paran? Now, Ibn Ezra has a theory as to why, but Rashi and Ibn Ezra are more willing to say the events of Torah are not according to their chronological order. And sometimes we try to figure out why. Sometimes they'll tell you why. Well, they think so. Ibn Ezra said, "The vidati should be Bar Sinai. I think it's been Bar Sinai. Chvar iskarti love and itzchah parsha gami techem shasa makoshes biyad ramah v'ziru v'lo hoil." That I think makes sense that the makoshes acted with an outstretched arm and he rebelled just like the spies, and it didn't help. So there's a whole question of when this story happened. So it's not clear. It's not clear what he did wrong. It's not clear who he is. It's not clear when this happened. And, of course, it's not clear to the people what should happen to him. Okay? It's like nothing is clear here. The Sifrei Zuta says, so by the way, why do you think they didn't know what should happen to him? I think there are two broad possibilities. Well, why do you think they didn't know what should happen to him? What would you think? What are the possibilities where they didn't know what should happen to him? What do you think it means?
Case never happened before, so they didn't know if they followed proper procedure. They didn't know.
Maybe they're
setting the precedent.
So maybe it's the first time this happened. They're nervous. They're not sure. Okay, so they're not sure whether even should be put to death. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They weren't sure what the process of witnesses were.
Right. Could be. Right. So I think there are a few ways. To analyze this. So it could be that. So the first of the question is: Are they not sure? Should be put to death? Or they're not sure what the punishment should be, right?
I think it could be
more. Okay, more though. You could say, I'm saying,
most of people have already seen it. Right. You know, he gave it to the skin. How far down did it go by that point in time?
Okay, right.
How much did they actually learn?
So it could hinge on another question, which is when the story happened. Because again, if it's the second Shabbos, then they may not have known the rules. If it's after the sin of the spies, where Hashem said Mechala Mos Yumas, and he told the people, so then. But then it's a more difficult question.
They didn't know the rules, and presumably they wouldn't have warned them and said, you're going to be put to death.
Yeah, it's a question what they warned, yeah. It's very unclear what they warned him exactly. But yeah, the Sifrei Zuta says, V'yicho, so v'mishra beis asurim, ki lo parash ma'yezelo, because it wasn't clear what should happen to him. Melamed she Moshe yodeh shu chayav misa. So the first opinion says that Moshe knew he should be put to death. Of lo yodeh b'mem misa. So he didn't know what the nature of the death should be. Elizabeth Shimon said he didn't know that he's Chayav Misa. And he didn't know that also if he should put to death, if he should put to death, what his death should be. And he says, and you can learn that from the answer. Because what does Hashem say to Moshe? Most Yumas Ha'ish. He says two things. He didn't just say he should be stoned. He says, number one, most Yumas Ha'ish, but you should be put to death. Point number one. And point number two is, right, B'mehu Misaso B'skila. So he says he should be put to death, and is that the skila? So it seems like they didn't even know he should be put to death. Okay? So basically, you have, again, you have an unknown perpetrator commits an unknown, unclear crime during an unknown Shabbos when the Bnei Yisrael were in the wilderness, and it's not clear whether he should be punished. Why are the details of this crime so unknown? So I'm going to read you what the Netziv writes, and I'm going to take it in different, I'm going to go in a different direction. Okay? Netziv says the following, HaMikdavar. For you, Bnei Yisrael in Bar, whom are you tired? That's extra. Halo Yadad is that? Don't we know he's in the desert or the wilderness? Elokomo Shikosvatosus, Beshem Midrash, Shemekoshi is Kavan Shem Shemaim. He says, Tosus says that the Mekoshes did this, he intended to do this for Shem Shemaim, for the sake of heaven. Why else would someone willing to die for picking up sticks? Like, right? The Yisrael, Savru, the Ein HaTorah Nohegas El Be'er Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael thought that maybe the Torah only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, right? And Umishah Shenigzar Aleim Lios Arba'im Shana Bamidbar Lios Golim Makom LaMakom. And once they heard, this works well if you say after the sin of the spies. Once they realize they're going to be Bamidbar for 40 years, we don't take Shabbos that seriously because really it's all practice for when we get into Eretz Yisrael. So we can be a little lax. We don't have to keep Shabbos. Right? So he said, they have a din of galus. That's why they don't bring public sacrifices. So they think we don't have to keep mitzvos until we come to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mekoshes comes, Laros, to show, Shiyamisu also Chil Shabbos. Said, no, you're going to be put to death in Chil Shabbos. So he wanted to show the people he's willing to give up his life to tell the people you're going to be put to death. It's a wild position. And he says,
because if they knew they were all going to die in the Midbar anyway, maybe he's like, I don't want to do this. Maybe I'll
just die it down.
Suicide by cop.
Yeah, you know, okay. I hear. Okay. But that's not what he says. He says this was L'shem Shemayim. And he says, I understand what you're saying. Like, I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well try to do some good. And then he said, why say Vayim Tzu? He says, Vayir Mibar. It should say, and they saw. The Shabbos police were out. What's Vayim Tzu? They searched and they found people from Chalal Shabbos. The time she meet Moshe, the time she meet who Mishum Shahayu Adar Paros Bechilul Shabbos. Bnei Israel that they didn't keep Shabbos so well. They didn't take Shabbos seriously. And he says in Sefer Yecheskel, say it gets there, explains in Sefer Yecheskel that they were Mechal Shabbos in the desert. And the Navi says, didn't have Kavanah on the first Shabbos, or this story. He says, Shekol Hador Hayuprutz Mechal Shabbos. The people were violating Shabbos, and that's what Vayim Tzu. So therefore Moshe had to set up Shomrim, Umashkichin, Kamosha Asu Nehemiah, right? Nehemiah, in Sefer Nehemiah, we find the story. Nehemiah sees, he's the governor, this is the beginning of the Second Temple period. Nehemiah comes, and he sees two things. People are intermarried. Ezra comes, sees people intermarried and people are Mechal Shabbos. So Nehemiah wants to close the businesses on Shabbos when he comes. And he says, what happened? They were Prutzim. And then it says even more that if you look at the next line in Pasuk Lamadal, the HaMikdavar says, why is it Vayenichu also Bamishpar? When it comes to the Megadeth, the guy who committed blasphemy against God, it's Vayenichu who? I guess it's supposed to be Vayenichu also. So he wants to say that there was more ketzef Hashem lakoso. He said that the Netziv says vayanichuhu implies bishleimut. When someone committed blasphemy against God, they put him in jail. Vayanichu also they put him. Machikim mechel shabbos hayadar paros lochoshel davar. They didn't take it so seriously. So here, what you have, according to the Netziv, you have someone who sees that people are not taking Shabbos seriously. By the way, you find this already in Parshas Bishalach. But what happens with Shalach? Hashem says, don't collect man on Shabbos. What happens for Shabbos? People look for man. Yeah. So we see they're not taking it seriously. We see it's after they can say the desert. We're not taking Shabbos seriously. It could be also, like we know in our generation, right? Some of us take some parts of Shabbos more seriously. Some of us take less parts. Like things that are clear, we're not going to do. But maybe there's some things that are like, you know, a little gray or whatever, and we may not take that seriously. And you can imagine the desert, what was it supposed to say? Don't do any malacha. Maybe he said, okay, there's a, okay, what's malacha? Or whatever you do in the Mishkan. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Like, you can imagine that, like, maybe how we may take certain rabbinic laws or certain customs not so seriously. Maybe they didn't take certain things that seriously. And here, this guy says, I'm going to do an avera lishma. Can avera for the same. So I want to be a little less radical than that position. But I just want to point out, the Meshech Chachma says, who may saklu, like we skipped to the left, may saklu makoshes in his kalim shem shemayim, from the time that the makoshes, was stoned, that he intended l'shem shemayim, the farsim ones shavish l'yakil, to publicize the punishment of shavish, it shouldn't be laxative, us of ahem hergesh b'leik kol Yisrael ad ki barvos bov mishna Torah, lunis kar kal via Shabbos. So you never find any problem of Shabbos anymore after that. It says, in fact, that Meshech Chachma says that, you know, Moshe, the last, you know, the Sefer Dvarim, he's like warning them about things. He mentions Shabbos in the context of the Ten Commandments, but he didn't go on and on about Shabbos. And he wants to say, because people kept Shabbos after this. This made a roshim, a mark on the people. At the same time, so that's an interesting question. Like, how do you view his actions? Like, he intended to commit a sin to show that for Shabbos you're put to death. Like, how do you say, and so God put him to death. So, like, his intentions were fulfilled. So is he a good guy or not a good guy? It's a little difficult, you know? It's a little difficult. There's a ton of Eliyahu, I don't have it here, who says that there on the Ten Commandments, there were 10 people who rebelled against the Ten Commandments, and the one who rebelled against Shabbos was the Mekoshes. They viewed him as a rebel. So it's a question, like, when God gives him what he wants, does that mean he's a bad guy or not? So I'm not sure. I think there's another way you can understand the story, you know, sort of like the Nitzir, but a little bit different. You can imagine that people are lax with Shabbos. And so, like, you know, and so you have these officers who are saying, you know, you got to walk around, if people are violating, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And maybe he wants to brazenly violate Shabbos and get punished, you know, so people will see this is serious business. So it could be that, like, I'm wondering if he, like, if it was, because Moshe doesn't know what to do with him. Moshe is not sure what to do with him. So it's not clear to me that if Moshe didn't know what to do with him, it's not clear to me that he knew himself that he should be put to death. In other words, could be that he knew that people were not taking Shabbos seriously, so he's willing to get a severe punishment, but Hashem says, no, what we did was wrong. You're getting put to death for that. Like, you could have your own intentions, but you're put to death for that. And in fact, what's interesting, it's an interesting line here in the Mechilta. Mechilta, Rabbi Shmuel says, he said, Al-Kain Barach Hashem 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 Hashem, and Hashem blessed Shabbos and he sanctified it. So three different opinions. What did he bless Shabbos with and what did he sanctify Shabbos with? The first opinion is, Rabbi Shmuel, he blessed the Shabbos with the man, he sanctified it with the man. Rabbi Kiva says, he blessed it with the man, he sanctified it with bracha. And Rabbi Yitzchak says, he blessed it with the man, he sanctified it with the makoshesh. What does that mean? So you know what's interesting?
Yes.
Yeah, where else do we find that someone dies and he uses the lashon of Kedusha?
Not
even a view. Not even a view. What does he say? Bikrovai Kadesh. They had their own intentions. They wanted to do something that was otherwise forbidden for some ulterior motive, whatever the motive was. Right? They wanted to get close to Hashem. You know, who I should be Hashem? This is what Hashem said, Bikrovai Kadesh. I'm going to be sanctified with those who come close to me. So you could have the best kavanos, the best intentions in the world, but the law is the law. So what I'm thinking, again, I'm veering a little bit from the Hamikdavar. What I'm thinking is that the people are lax. They think they're not going to Eretz Yisrael. And he wants to say, listen, Shabbos is serious. And I'm going to show you. And I'm going to, if people are like lax, you know, when the rabbi walks around, they're stopping Michal Shabbos, right? When the watchmen are watching around. And he they're getting away with it. So you know what he's saying? He what's he doing? He is saying, I'm going to show you that, no,
You can't be Machal Shabbos because I'm gonna collect these sticks. Why do you need these sticks? I'm gonna collect these sticks anyway, right? And to show that, you know what, you can't, and to show that this is a serious thing, I'm gonna get caught, and I'm gonna show the punishment for Shabbos. But I don't know if he knew that he was gonna kill, because Moshe even didn't know he was killed. But what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, Moshe must. Right? No. Sometimes he can have the best kavanos, but the law is the law. There's a lot of room for us in Judaism to have good kavanos, try the best we can, and to use our motivations, do what's best for the klal. There's a lot of room for that, but there's also a structure. The structure sometimes is elastic, right? Sometimes it's elastic, but this was beyond, and maybe this medrash Mechilta said was similar to Nadav and Avihu. You know, there's an elastic structure, but sometimes you go beyond, and what emerges here is this person, right? We don't know much about him. We don't know much about him. We don't know who he is. We don't know when this happened, right? This person remains anonymous. What we do know is, whatever his intentions are, Shabbos is Shabbos. And that's the point of this. Shabbos is Shabbos. Whatever your intentions are, and beneath the surface, he does something not clear. Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to say definitively, Shabbos is Shabbos, whatever your intentions are, you can't break it. We take this very seriously. And it had the impact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu desired of people taking Shabbos very seriously. But I think it's the broader question of trying to second guess God and think, I know what's best for Klal Yisrael. We should try to always work for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, but we have to work within the structure. I think that's a message of the Makoshesh.